Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Happy almost Halloween! Welcome to a non-Halloween edition of Insane in the Membrane.
Insane in the Membrane.
Before we begin, over on Insane in the Membrane, you can hear me talking to Jordan Gray. Jordan Gray, the trans woman, and hear me melt down as I try to start the conversation.
I want to talk to you about, because this is,
I don't even know where to start.
This is great.
No,
I love this bit.
This is the bit where Rich Wilson starts to panic. So that's Jordan Gray over on Insane in the Fembrain right now. Like we realised last week, people have been very generously leaving us reviews on the iTunes. I know we asked people to do that. We didn't realise people had. And so there's a backlog of people and we didn't realise. So thank you to everybody that's left us 5-star reviews. Nice one. Really appreciate it. That's lovely of you. To anyone that left us a 1-star review, I'm not even looking at them. You're probably not even listening to this anymore if you left us a 1. So good luck with your lives. I'm sorry that you feel that way. But hopefully you'll come back and then hopefully you'll feel better about things and we would give you something that you actually like. I don't know. Good luck. Well, I wish you all the best. But to the wonderful people that have left us 5s, we've got some wonderful guys. I don't know how to pronounce this. Amstotten has said, favourite podcast. Thank you so much, Amstotten. Is that how you say it? Drop me a message let me know. Amstotten. Amstotten. I'm going to keep saying it, aren't I? And then we've got Georgie. Is it Georgie? You spell it G-A-W-G-I. Is that Georgie? Georgie. I'm Georgie. Amazing podcast. Thank you so much. And then we've got Kelvin the Crane. Hilarious, funny, relevant. Thank you, mate. That's really kind of you. Thank you. And then we've got Flashdag underscore development. Hello, mate. That's my mate Tash. Tash, thank you. I'm so glad you love it. Thank you. It really means a lot. Thank you. Thank you to all of you listening. We really appreciate it. Seamus is a girl's name. Chilled, relaxed, talking. No gimmicks. And that's the thing. There are no gimmicks. I get it wrong sometimes. And that's the beauty of this. That's why I'm having these conversations. Because sometimes I get it wrong. And sometimes I get it right. But that's all part of being a human being, isn't it? And we've got VW George 1982, just like mates, sat around chatting. And that's how it's supposed to be. So there's far too many podcasts out there that talk about mental health, but do it in a way that is, no disrespect to them, but it's not in a way that a lot of people can feel comfortable with or accessible. It feels a little bit, you know, you want this. This is how we should be doing it. Just listening to me make a fucking idiot of myself and a few swears. Because we swear, don't we? I love a good swear. You? Good swear. Yeah, not all the time. Don't do it when you're with your kids. That's not good. Anyway, but thank you to everybody for the reviews. There are so many. We're going to go through them and we're going to give you a shout out and everything else. So the 4s as well. We'll have a look at them and 3. I don't know. How do you feel about things if you get to a point and someone goes, it was all right, 3. It's kind of nothing, isn't it? It's not like middling, it's like, yeah, it's all right. But it's, you know, it's up to you. However you're feeling, I can't tell you to like this. You know, as much as I want everybody to like it, you're not everybody's cup of tea, and I understand that. But I hope you're all right. Hope you're well. Still a funny old time, isn't it? You know, everything's changing every week, and we're probably bored of talking about it. But you know, as long as we are well, as long as we're doing all right, because there's some poor souls out there not doing well at all. And to them, I send my love, and hopefully things will improve. It's a funny old time. People voting against feeding kids, which is a bit fucked, isn't it? Anyone that goes, because I've seen people I know, and I love you, but they're talking about the economy and economics and. Fuck all that. This is about feeding kids, all right? It doesn't matter about the parents. Doesn't matter about the situation. It doesn't matter who only have kids if you can afford them. Doesn't matter. These children now exist, and they should be fed. And that's the key point. Regardless of anything else, these kids should be fed. And that's the end of it. There's no discussion, all right? Let's just feed the kids, fuck's sake, you know? And then you've got people talking about, you know, there was a poor family that tried to get across the channel, you know, and people were going, oh, yeah, there are proper avenues to get into this. No, they weren't open to these people. These people took a fucking risk, and it didn't work out. And it breaks my heart to see stories like that. And then it just makes you realise how lucky you are to be in the situation you're in, you know? We've all got our own shit to deal with, but some people have got more shit than others, and it really, you know, this is why we need to have these chats. This is why we need this community, you know, support each other. Hopefully, you know, this helps in some way. It helps me, certainly. Speaking of help and community and friendship, my guest this week is Rob Rouse. Rob Rouse is one of the stars of Upstart Crow, which is a great TV show. And he, I've said this many times maybe on here, I've said it in other stuff. He's the reason I got into comedy. He was the first person to turn around and say to me, I think you should do comedy. I think you've got what it takes. And I've been mates with him ever since. He's just a very, really lovely man. And this was the second time we attempted this recording, because the first one, I was supposed to record my end, because his internet connection is not great. So we were supposed to record either end and send it to producer Paul. He would work his magic, and it would sound like we were having a proper conversation, and everything was fine. But I didn't record my side because I'd forgotten the batteries or some shit. And I was so gutted. It was such a good chat. I love Rob so much, and it fucked up. But being Rob being who he is, he just went, well, we'll do it again. And here we are. We did it today. So producer Paul is relaxed, because I was in the studio this time, in producer Paul's studio, so he knew that at least his side, this side, was going to be properly recorded. And Rob has got his side over, and he's ready to go. And we're going to put it out. I'm going to put it out right now. It's absolutely, that's what I'm doing. This is the intro for it. Rob's a lovely man, and you'll find out. We cover all manner of topics with this one. It's coming up in just a minute. Rob Rouse.
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A podcast from producerpaul.co.uk.
Oh, oh, oh! Now you're right live in my ears. There we go.
I'm in your ear. Perfect. Here he is. That's it.
There we go.
I've got a picture to send you. There was a fella in the gig last night. Look, the spitting image of you.
Let's have a look.
I sent it to you. I don't know if you can see it on here.
Show me on the screen.
I don't know if you can see it. Can you see it?
Oh, no, I can't see him. I just see a bleached out.
I'll send it to you. because it was uncanny.
It looks like me in a... It looks like me in a slim phase.
You're not fat, though, are you? Look at you. You're a...
No, I've been big. I've been big in the past, though, Rich. I got quite big before I met my wife. I put on quite a lot of timber.
Did you?
Generally, I've quite a fast. I've quite a fast metabolism. And also, you know, I go to the toilet a lot. I'm not going to lie to you. Don't worry, I'm recording all this. Are you recording your end? Are you rolling?
Yeah, this is gold.
I'm getting all the... perfect. I'm recording it on a backup as well, so don't panic. But, you know, I go to the toilet a lot, and that's where I do a lot of my thinking. But and I enjoy spicy food, so I don't hang on to matter for very long, generally.
Just go straight through you like a Porsche.
I tend to move it... Yeah, I move it on quite quick. But but then when I started doing stand-up, I remember... I started eating a lot after gigs at night because your whole day would become just about doing the gig, wouldn't it? Like you get up at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and then you go and do the gig and you sort of wake up and then you go, right, I'm hungry now. I need to go and live a life.
That's it. Yeah, every time.
And then, I used to eat and driving around and eating and drinking energy drinks before gigs and all that kind of stuff. And I think I got up to about, for me, because I'm usually about, I don't know if you meant to talk about your weight, I'm usually about 12 and a half stone, generally, yeah, somewhere around there. But I got up to about 15 and a half, I think. So for me, that was quite a lot of extra timber for me to carry. And I remember talking to a lady at a gig afterwards, and I asked, and she was a personal trainer. It was up the creek, first met. And I said to her, I'm doing a bit of exercise, I'm doing this, but I just can't seem to shift the weight. And she said, what are you eating? And I said, oh, I don't know, just getting healthy stuff, like I have about half a loaf of bread or something. She went, hang on. And I was eating about half a loaf of bread at night when I got in, with loads of Marmite and butter on it.
Yeah.
But whilst doing press, I was doing press-ups and then fueling my body on Marmite on toast. With loads of stalk margarine or whatever was cheap in those days.
I had a personal trainer for a bit, and I used to go to the gym, and I'd be on the cross trainer, and I'd be on there for like 2 minutes, and then because I'm in the gym psychologically, I've been.
Yeah.
And then one day there's this giant Lithuanian guy called Andre, and he was one of the, I used to say hello to him every time I went in there, but he never said hello back. He just stared at me, and I'm on the thing, and he walked up, he came walking along. He said, "What are you trying to do?" I'm trying to lose a bit of weight. He went, stop. So I'm on the cross trainer. I'm trying to slow it down as I was going. And
yeah.
He went, there's no point in you coming to the gym. He goes, your diet is shit. He goes, I can tell that by looking at you. Your diet is shit. There's no point in exercising if your diet is bad. He said.
And then you started crying?
I started crying.
You started crying?
But then we became friends. It was very nice. But he did. He helped me out. It really did. When I was with him, it was great. He really did show me the way. Yeah. So you're
sounds
right.
It sounds like he was gaslighting you, Rich.
Well, he got him 30 quid a session, so 90 quid a week. It worked.
But also as you get older as well, like your body goes through different phases, doesn't it? Because I think I'm now in the male menopause.
Yeah,
I assume. You know, I'm going to have to take my time. I do feel hot. I might have to take my jumper off in a minute. But I don't know. I feel. Do you know? Genuinely, this is about mental health, isn't it? When I was. Well, it's about everything, isn't it? But you know, these things are the areas we're very happy to walk into. I remember when I was back in the early to mid 2000s, when I was probably on the telly. A bit.
Yeah.
I remember having never thought about it really much in my life at all, suddenly being very conscious of my weight, definitely. And yeah. I've never really thought about it in much depth. And except for the fact, if I look back at it now, I was going down to LA Fitness in Sydenham every day. And if I didn't go, I'd get quite freaked out and stressed. Probably what now would we call anxiety, but yeah, stressed, and I'd be stroppy and grumpy because I didn't feel I'd done the thing I needed to do to then stay at whatever weight I thought I should be whilst I drank loads of booze, ate chip food, and didn't look after myself otherwise. Yeah.
It's funny when you see people, when people that we know, they get on the telly And then suddenly they suddenly get a telly body.
And they've
obviously seen themselves and gone, no, that can't stay as it is. I've literally just been saying, I saw myself on the screens here. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, I've got such a dad body.
But you're a dad.
Yeah, exactly. So of course I've got a dad body.
You've got grown up boys. And also, Rich, if I'm crying, who do I want to cuddle me, you or Joel Dommett?
Exactly.
I love Joel Dommett. He's a lovely guy, but I want to have a cuddle with you, Rich.
Exactly. Comfort.
Joel suddenly, because he was always quite, you know, quite a bandy, quite a skinny guy, didn't he? And he got really into, I remember seeing him just before he got famous. We did a gig, an off the curb gig somewhere, and, you know, or maybe an Ian Franklin gig somewhere where they had enormous round tables anyway.
Oh, yeah. And, Ian Franklin,
Yeah, and he was suddenly, like, he was all muscly, Joel, and he was eating just chicken out of a packet. Nothing else, just chicken.
That's what you're supposed to do. No carbs. Just have your protein.
I love bread and rice.
Last few days, all I've been eating is bread and sandwiches. I just can't be asked to do anything else.
I really think it's funny, isn't it? Probably like me, I'm guessing you probably spend a bit too long on things like Instagram and stuff, just scrolling through and going, why does it always show me these pictures of these men who are really muscly in the gym showing off their six packs and, you know, their massive backs and all this kind of stuff? And it's because you've looked at it in the past, feeling a bit sad about yourself. So now it shows you more of it just to push you over the fucking edge.
It's true. And people don't realise that even though we are men, we still get affected by these things. We still think...
Well, but, big time. I think we do, really big time. And I think it's probably a sleeping... I don't really know what the term would be, a sleeping bad thing. that needs to be talked about. It's now become like when you look at a lot of young people now. So we do a gig, and a lot of young people now are really quite stacked, aren't they? Like the young men, they're really jacked. They spend a lot of time in the gym. They've got big muscular torsos. They don't do their legs, so they look like a triangle on two sticks, don't they? But there's at what point is that health, and at what point does it become body dysmorphia? You've got to ask yourself, haven't you? Because I remember, like, when I was... I mean, I think in general I have a fairly healthy relationship to my body. If anything, I'm the other way body dysmorphic. I get out the shower and think, you look like an absolute Olympian, young man, old man. And then I see a picture of myself on holiday and go, you're quite a pasty man, there on the sun lounger. And you can kid yourself, but whatever happens, you're always going to have a fat back. So just deal with it.
Well, I look at my dad and I'm like, neither of us are tall. We're not tall men. And we've got this weird body where we're stocky and we are fat, but we don't look fat. It's weird.
No,
like it's a.
Well, you aren't. I think I see. I always think of you as someone who's got explosive power. Do you know what, if I needed to, if I was trying to get a piano into a house,
absolutely
up some steps, I go, I'll get Rich, because there'll be a bit when everyone, like there's four of us trying to lift the piano and we can't do it. And then suddenly Richard go, fucking get out of the way, everyone. And you just go, ah! And you'll just screech. And then you lift the piano over the threshold.
It's true.
That's what you've got. That's what you've got. And that is wonderful. That is beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's incredible. Explosive lower body power. That's what life's all about.
Low to the ground. Low centre of gravity. We're like weebles. We don't fall over very easily.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And
But who am I going to ring? Who am I going to ring if I want to knock down an outdoor toilet with just a couple of lump hammers? I'm not going to ring Joel Dommett. I'm going to ring you, Rich. And then we'll knock it down. We'll have a fantastic day just laying waste to an old brick toilet in someone's backyard. What a day.
What a day. I'd love that. Just smashing the shit out of an outside toilet.
With lump hammers. Superb. I remember there's an old friend of mine, Debs Walker. She's a wonderful woman. Partner, Lee, I remember that was that's where that idea came from. I remember she said, Lee wasn't working at the time. He's from Buxton, Lee. Really nice lad. Really nice lad. And when you meet him, really... seemingly, you know, when you meet someone who seems really uncomplicated, you just think, oh, I'd love a bit of that. I'd love, do you know what I mean? I'd love to be in your head, mate. And I'm sure there's, you know, there's loads. He's got his own things he has to deal with. But I remember it was Debs's birthday. I'd not seen it before. I said, what'd you get for your birthday? And he said, Lee got me the best present ever. And I said, what was it? And he said, well, he hasn't got any money, but there's this old outdoor toilet standing at the end of the back garden. It means you can't see the garden. And he knocked it down with a lump hammer with his bare hands for me birthday present. And I just thought, I wish I was married to Lee.
Yeah, he just that's you say he's uncomplicated, but he thinks outside the box. He's gone, great, right, I've got any, I haven't got any money, but what can I give her that she'd love? Oh no, yeah, get rid of that bog.
Superb, with my bare hands.
Just going
but,
at
but
it.
That's the thing. But I do see, but there's a thing, isn't there? Like you said, I see, just to what we talk about, that all these young lads, with the, you know, they spend a lot of time in the gym. At what point does that become an unhealthy obsession? Because, like, I remember as a kid, like, when you'd see, I remember watching, I was really into boxing when I was a kid. We grew up with an amazing era of boxing, like Marvin Hagler, Tommy Hearns, Sugar Ray Leonard. That was that kind of super middleweight, incredible period. And then and it was on the telly a lot, wasn't it?
Yeah, all the time.
Errol Bomber, Graham, Lloyd Onegin, all the British boxers. Incredible. But what's I really noticed was this idea that boxers train to get into a certain shape, don't they?
Yeah.
And it's the same with Olympic athletes. They're looking to peak at their event. So if you saw... I mean, Ricky Hatton's a good example, isn't it? He obviously goes on and lives his life and he's getting incredible shape for his fights, but he wouldn't maintain that kind of almost emaciated, really muscly physique that they cut to get to the weight. Now, that if you look at Instagram, those are the male bodies that are seen and being normalised on there, really heavily muscled, but with incredibly low levels of body fat.
Yeah.
And that isn't actually how you're physically meant to be.
No, not at all.
Because our entire metabolism has evolved over millions of years of hunting and gathering, where if you found something, you might gorge yourself on it, and then you'd be able to store weight, and that would get you to the next point where you next had a bit of a plunder, or they got you through a lean period. So your body's not meant to exist at that level of... that sort of level of peak... potential power to weight ratio, whatever you want to call it, for an extended period. But that kind of shit's getting normalised by just what people casually scroll through. And then, you know, we've got a thing where we've drawn. I mean, it's not easy to do, and it's uncomfortable sometimes. But we've drawn a line in the sand with our kids, and social media and stuff, and said, no smartphone, you're not having one. I don't care if they've got one. You know, and my son's 12, and he stopped arguing about it. It eventually stopped, and he stopped. When he goes back to school after a big school holiday, he'll mention it, and then we'll have a quick chat about it, and then he'll stop going on about it. And he just gets on with it. And occasionally someone drew a cock and balls on his little Nokia phone case the other day. But we were laughing about it. But he doesn't. I genuinely don't think he's missing out. And he chats to his mates when he plays on the, you know, his computer games and stuff.
Yeah.
But he doesn't miss out by not having a mobile phone. And crucially, he doesn't spend ages looking at a million fold images of what people think they should look like.
Yeah, yeah. I've got you. Yeah.
I don't know. And I just think, because I know myself, if I look at it, it starts to make me feel sick.
Yeah, I get caught up in it all the time. And what amazes me is that you see people like Jack Black, for example, that just exudes confidence. But he's he doesn't go to the gym. He doesn't do this, that, and the other.
No.
But people love him and, you know, find him attractive. And there are other people, like larger people, that are confident with it. And I really admire that. I wish I was a bit more like that. I'm like it sometimes. Depends if I've had a decent enough sleep. If I've had some sleep, then I'm all right. I'm kind of like, no, this is what I look like. I can't change it, you know. This is what I...
But mate, exactly. You're handsome, well-dressed, cultured, stylish dude.
It's funny, isn't it? But you know what I mean? Thank you. But I don't see that. I just see this fat lump who's had to go up a jean size since someone had a bat.
Yeah, but how else are you going to, you know, you that explosive power has to come from somewhere, Rich.
It does, and you need bigger jeans to fit it in.
exactly. But that's our perception, that those people in that gym are happy.
Yeah, exactly, and they're not. They're not.
Clearly, if they were satisfied with themselves or they were at peace with who they were, they wouldn't be in there 7 days a week.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly,
and I think it's really interesting. I think about this with young children growing up. So my lad is 12. He is the second smallest boy in his year.
Right,
and he says, "Daddy, when am I going to grow?" I'm sure he's going to grow at some point. But his mum's nearly medically small, so so it might be there's a cap. There's a cap on that potential. Yeah,
I hope he takes after you and not his time bandit mum.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, all we can do is just kind of just make sure that he's confident. Like, yeah. You know, someone said to him, yeah, he came back from school the other day. Someone said to me, "When are you going to grow?" And I said, "Well, next time, just say then, when are you going to grow a personality? When are you going to grow some wit? When are you going to grow like a sense of humour? Like all of these things." Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and you just, oh, I don't know. It's tricky, isn't it? But it's hard enough for adults to navigate, and I think it's an even more confusing world potentially for young people.
Right, especially now. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was hard enough when we were kids. You know, with the bullying and stuff. You know, everyone bullied each other. You know, I got bullied, so I'd bully someone else. And, you know, there was this horrible chain of events.
Yeah, but
now,
absolutely. Yeah.
Now it's like, you know, I imagine, you know, he probably does get a little bit of shit for not having the right phone. You know, we used to get shit at school if you had the wrong bag. I had a bag and it just said sport down the side. It
awesome.
Didn't even have a football team.
Market bag.
Yeah.
He
said sport, and I got the shit ripped out of me for that.
Mate, I got so much shit like for that kind of stuff as a kid. But I think, it's funny. I remember I was really into cricket at school, and we went to I went to comprehensive school, so there wasn't loads of us playing it. And I remember getting a second-hand pair of cricket boots from someone. I can't remember who it was from, and they were too big. And it was a primary school match, and I got 6 wickets in this match or something. We bowled out them for about 12. It was ridiculous. And we were taking their shoes off afterwards. Well, Bob, probably on the grass. And I was taking my shoes off, and they were stuffed out with cotton wool because they were too long. and I remember this lad, I shan't say his name, but he said, that they were C-U-N-T boots. That's what he called them. And I didn't know what the word was. And I went home and told my mum, and so-and-so said these are called gun boots. I like a thick ear for both sides. But it kind of... And I remember, I know I was always shit at football, but my mum used to buy me like plastic football boots out of the second...
The mouldy...
Second's bin in Timpsons. And like, if there was any moisture in the atmosphere or on the ball at all, you couldn't get any grip. Nope. It would just, no matter what you did, it would just piss off to the side, slide off your boot. But I don't know, it's like Johnny Cash, isn't it? It's the gravel in your gut and the spit in your eye. Or is it the spit in your gut and the gravel in your eye? I don't spit in each other's eyes. That's the point.
Or in each other's guts.
Yeah, or just don't mess with each other's guts and eyes. But it's that's the balance of life, isn't it, that we're all in, is that thing of it's building up, it's finding our own resilience and trying to engender that in our kids.
Yeah.
We had a fascinating conversation today. We're out for a dog walk and it was shitting down with rain, but the kids are going mad. We can't, you know, we can't do anything really at half term. So we just went out for a walk in the rain with the dogs. And we were talking about, I think we were talking about old TV programmes. That was it. My wife was trying to explain to our daughter, who's 8, about what live TV is.
Yeah.
Because she just can't wrap her head around it because she watches things on the iPlayer or whatever. So it just doesn't even compute as a concept that there was a time when you used to have to watch a programme at a certain time and everyone else would be watching it. There's no frame of reference for it. It just doesn't make any sense at all. She literally grew up in a world of Netflix and things on demand. And then And we were talking, and then my son said, yeah, because Dad always says that kind of, you know, things are worse now than they were, or technology's really bad. And I said, well, no. Maybe I do. And I try not to. But I was just saying, we used to have live TV. So we used to have a thing where, like, if you're watching Saturday morning TV and there'd be, I don't know, Duran Duran might be on.
Yeah.
Someone could ring up and they go, you're speaking to Duran Duran, what do you want to say? And they go, you're a bunch of wankers! And put the phone down. And that kind of thing would happen.
Yeah.
Like, five on the
star,
telly.
It's a five star, do you remember that?
It was five star, bless them. I'm sure they dealt with it and they kind of laugh about it. And they probably look back at it. Well, I look back at those things fondly. Like, yeah, you could see. And he's found it. He thought it was hysterical, like that someone could ring up and just tell someone to piss off. And he said, "Why would people do that?" I said, "Well, why are you laughing?" He said, "Because it's funny." Went exactly. There's an element of chaos. That's what I was trying to say. That's missing from there. So now they would watch like a succession of fails. Which it's like the comedic version of cum shots, isn't it? If you take all the build up, all of the surrounding furniture out of a practical joke or a situation, the real joy is gone.
Yeah,
because life is about anticipation and either getting that or not getting that, and you have to learn to reckon with waiting, don't you?
Yeah.
And the fallout and expectation. It's like if you had Christmas every day, it would be shit. Even for kids, it would be shit if it was Christmas every day. It would be tedious. It's like living forever. It's an awful concept, isn't it? But I was just saying to him, so I feel like in a way, maybe there was just a little seed planted in my generation that we need to find the seed for them.
Yeah.
Which is that mistakes are normal. Mistakes happen. And so even like if you're a pop star, you could be on a live TV program and a kid could ring up and call you a wanker. And that kind of stuff could happen. So so you're immediately learning that these people in front of you, of course, they're not perfect.
Yeah.
And life isn't perfect. But if we edit out all of the imperfections, then people... And people don't ever see, they don't grow up seeing like rough edges, cock-ups, genuine mistakes in context, then they you could see how potentially they could then start to have an expectation of themselves that didn't make mistakes or was completely infallible.
And then, the insecurities kick in because they do make mistakes and they do feel insecure and they do fuck up and they think they're the only ones that are. That's the thing. We always think we're the only ones that are fucking up. And it's not.
Yeah,
we all fuck up. We all make mistakes.
Yeah.
Someone said this to me recently and they just said, you know, sometimes I'm a legend, sometimes I'm a bit of a prick. It just depends what mood I'm in. But I'm a human being. I'm not good all the time. Mm. I'm good and I'm bad. And it's just how we are, you know. And that needs to be, there seems to, like, I watched Jade at a gig the other night and she said this thing and she was like, you know, it's all very Christian at the moment, isn't it? It's all very good and evil and you've got to pick a side. You know, you can't be, it's always like, but humans aren't like that, you know. And I think... Yeah, like you say, we're not allowed to fuck up. If you make a mistake now, you're just dragged over the cobbles and then that's it. You're finished, you know. And it's we all
potentially,
fuck up,
yeah. You're absolutely right. And you're right. Jade's spot on. Like it's that's we have to, unless we have a world where we can somehow atone for things we've done wrong.
Yeah.
Then. What's the point? What's the point of teaching our kids that any kind of morals or that one thing is one thing, you know, there's or not, just to behave or to be kind and to be nice, like, because occasionally they're going to mess it up because they're going to feel vulnerable or like you said earlier, like you got bullied and you occasionally bullied people. That's because you were bullied. Like all of that behavior is learned. And especially it happens, doesn't it, in social media, it's such a tribal thing.
Yeah.
I saw a thing the other day that just as by way of an example that made me think, what the fuck is this for? Like, there's a journalist, I shan't mention his name, because I can't remember it. But I'd started following him about a couple of years ago because I thought he put some interesting stories up. And there was a thing in the news, I think it was Sunday, Keir Starmer was involved in an accident with a cyclist.
Right.
In North London. And the report was, and from all the different papers it's been in, there was an incident with a cyclist. The cyclist suffered a minor injury, was taken to hospital, but is doing fine. And that Keir Starmer stayed with the cyclist till the emergency services arrived. And then when they arrived and he was taken away, obviously left and has stayed in touch with the person.
Yeah.
So basically did all the things that you are meant to do.
Yeah.
As a member of society, whether you're Conservative, Labour, whatever you are, UKIP, doesn't matter. Do the thing that you're meant to do as a member of society if you're involved in a traffic accident. And this journalist who I wrote, and all it wrote was, who the hell, like, kind of, what kind of monster drives an SUV in North London? And then I looked down at the thread and it was incredible. Like, so this guy's kind of a left-leaning journalist. And because later on he was, you know, attacking Trump and Boris and all the usual suspects. And I thought, what is the purpose of this? And those people going, yeah, if you drive an SUV, you might as well just take a shit in a penguin's mouth. And all this kind of extreme stuff. Even if it's an electric SUV, the amount of energy used to create one, like, just kind of, wow. And so the journalist's reference to the story was that Keir Starmer was a monster for driving an SUV rather than Keir Starmer was involved in an accident like a lot of us have done at some point in our lives and did the right thing.
Yeah. But it's,
And I don't understand what the purpose of a tweet like that is for from a journalist other than, if he's not thinking about it, to create division.
Create division and to get likes and attention for themselves and
absolutely the whole purpose of doing it has become contrived. He's completely contrived his position as a journalist in my eyes. I don't want to follow you fucking weirdo. Like, what was the point of that? That's not, it's not shone a light on anything.
No,
it's not actually
just to get likes.
You just Yeah, it's weird actually. It's not really connected, but maybe it is. I don't know. Just thinking out loud. We were chatting about doing this, whether we'd have people watching it on Zoom.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I don't know where you've done it with other people. And I thought, and Paul, your producer, very kindly asked me and said we could have some of your patrons watch on Zoom. And I've set up a Patreon page recently that I've been having fun with. And he said, maybe you could ask some of them. And I kind of thought about it and thought, could be interesting. And then I decided not to, for a couple of reasons. And one was that I try and just put funny things on my Patreon page. Thought I'll just keep it for that. And then, but I'll, you know, tell people I've done this, obviously. But I was thinking, more importantly, like, I want to really be able to talk to you.
Yeah.
And I thought, I know there'll be a bit of me I can't switch off or won't be thinking, I wonder what the audience makes of that.
Yeah.
If I can see their faces watching.
Yeah, you're right.
And then I thought, it contrived the purpose of why I was doing this or what it was for.
Yeah.
And this is for us to have a conversation and then, as I see it, and then hopefully for the listeners to find it in one way interesting or engaging one way or another. But for them to be able to...
Yeah.
It to be whatever it is for them or they need to derive from it.
Yeah, you're right.
But I thought the only way I can do it is if I could happily just talk to you on the phone and have it recorded. Because there's me and Helen were just chatting. There's an element to doing things on Zoom where, I mean, you're very good at this because you're a very skilled interviewer. But when you're chatting to people sometimes on Zoom, because you've got the visual cues, it can end up feeling less intimate than if you're just on the phone.
Sometimes. Sometimes there's an element, like you say, something kicks in and we start to perform. And that's what we would have done. If this had been an audience, we can't help it. We would have just gone, and we would have been that comedy version of ourselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's as much as I love that, you know, I really want to talk to you and find out about you. You know, and the other thing I like is that people see us because they go, oh, you're a comedian, that's so brave, and you're like, yeah, but really, it took a lot to get to that point it's not brave, but it took a lot for us to get to that point where we could stand in front of people and sort of make fun of the shit that's happened to us, and you know, and make it funny, but we have dealt, there's stuff in our past that we've dealt with, and instead of letting it sort of crush us and you know, destroy us, we've kind of channeled it. We've gone, right, I'm gonna, all subconsciously as well, we've done it. We didn't really know that's what we were doing, but it got us to the point where we're now stood in front of people going, yeah, you know, because we've had shit to deal with. And I think if we'd have been sat with an audience doing this, we wouldn't have got into that conversation, I don't think.
No, it's harder to, isn't it? Yeah. It's harder to. Because it's like you have different modes for what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so likewise, if you stood on stage and your purpose is to make the audience laugh, if we had this conversation now, but at the Comedy Store on a Saturday night, we'd be off stage by now, wouldn't we? We wouldn't have lasted 2 minutes.
No, exactly. But that's, there's that, and it's not, there's that cliche, the tears of a clown, and it's not necessarily, that's not what, we're not all tragic and sad inside, but we're not normal. We've had shit that's gone on that has driven us to this point where we're now,
yes,
you know,
we like to
perform, you know, we like to bring joy to people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I think, it's interesting, isn't it? I always think when people say, I don't know how you do it, you must have something that you've got that I haven't got. And I always think about it the other way around. It's like, I think all performers, all artists have got a little bit of them that is missing. There's a missing bit of the jigsaw that they can never quite find.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what they're exploring or searching, whether they're a musician or they paint or whatever. They need to try and work out what life is to them and the world is.
Yeah.
It's about a lack rather than is having an extra thing.
It's true, isn't it? It's true. We've been having, I've said this a few times now, but Jade and I have been having couples counselling. And I tell you what, it's really shone a light on my own, not shortcomings, but my own things that I didn't know were a problem
when I was
a kid. And now when I talk to the counsellor about it, and she goes, no, that's not a good thing that happened to you. And you go, it's just part of, I just thought it was just part of growing up. You know,
yeah.
It's just like, because we, like you mentioned it earlier about the kids and what we teach the kids. You know, we, our parents were, you know, they probably went through some shit with their parents and then they filled
out a lot of crap.
But they still had their own shit they had to deal with. I know my dad certainly had stuff to deal with his mum. His mum was awful. So he's had to deal with stuff and he might not have got it right all the time. And, you know, he's done brilliantly, but not, you know, some things could have been better. And then you do it as well. We have kids. And then there's stuff that you could do better. And it kind of, we're always, each generation trying to filter out the shit bits.
Yeah. And it's forever been thus, hasn't it? Yeah. And I think it's a really good point. And also, like, kind of, I think, you know, we also don't talk about, but I think this is why it's universal as well. But just as a performer, you do it in a public way that you go on that search and you sort of analyse it by how people respond to your work and how you respond to by the things that you make. But I imagine there are tears of an accountant. There are tears of a shopkeeper.
Yeah.
There are tears of a marriage guidance counsellor. There's tears of everyone.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's all things. Everyone's trying to get so many different things, whether consciously or subconsciously, from everything that they do. So someone who runs a shop might run a shop because their dad ran a shop, their mum ran a shop, or their family's always had a shop. Or they might go because, and then I know I'm seeing people every day. And I like running a shop as a performance, or do you know what I mean? But they don't necessarily, they may or may not rationalise it like that. But everything that we do, and you know, and it, the whole structure of work, isn't it? Like corporate work, or you know what we think work is, because I don't really know what work. We don't really know what, you know, when you do a gig for a company, you realise inside, I don't really know what happens in the office. Yeah. But I imagine the same thing of like kind of people have work and they do their work and then they want a promotion or a bonus or they want recognition for the thing that they're doing to be a bit acknowledgement, isn't it? And human beings, but we need that because it's hardwired into us, isn't it? It's hardwired into us because we used to live in, for millions of years, well, thousands, hundreds of thousands of years, in little tribes, in caves, surrounded by saber-toothed tigers. So we had to work as a community, and being part of a community is feeling valued and feeling recognised and noticed. And so all that shit is hardwired into us because it's how we survived. And have you watched that Social Dilemma programme on Netflix?
No, not yet. Documentary? I'll keep being told to watch it.
Yeah. It's nuts, and I'd advise everyone to watch it. It's a really interesting watch, and not in the sense that it's judgy about what you're doing or what you do with your social media or whether you're on it or not or whether you don't even give a shit about it. It's a really interesting sort of analysis of where where we are like as a species at the moment. And there's a really interesting point which this man makes who used to work for one of the big tech media companies. And he's saying, because essentially, like, that all of the social media works, it's like, and he's saying they've got, we're talking about computers that are literally so big they're underwater, like the enormous. So every single thing that we look at online is analysed, how long we looked at it, how long we hovered over it, how long we spent on it. Every single fun, interesting or dirty thing you've ever looked at ever, it's all stored. Single fucking thing. And they know exactly how long you looked at that video for.
Yeah.
Or that how... They know it. Like, the detail is astonishing. So, and then every time you look at anything on the internet, where you've clicked agree or yes, whatever, or you unwittingly did...
Yeah.
All of that information is being used to choose what you see next.
Wow.
So then that's why, like, when you look at Instagram and you think, right, I need to get off it for a bit, the next time you look at it will be something that you go and it drags you in, because it will, that image you see will be tailor-made and presented to you.
Wow.
By the algorithm. And I didn't know that. I thought, shit, that's crazy. So... And he said, right, so that's what the social media people have got. That's what they're working with. Now, on the other side of the piece of glass is us. And our brain, like the hardware in between our ears, is hundreds of thousands of years old.
Yeah.
And it, in the middle of it is like your amygdala, which is your reptilian bit, you know, your fight or flight bit of your brain that you can't do anything about, that just happens.
Yeah.
And... you've got but we evolved, but very slowly over hundreds of thousands of years, to live in tribes where getting approval from our peers was how we survived.
Yeah.
That's how we worked together, cooperated, and managed to go, right, we're going to try and do this as a group rather than just living like kind of reactively all the time. So you've got ancient hardware in your brain, and on the other side of the glass is all that. And he just says, "So who do you think's going to win that?" Like there's no contest.
Yeah.
But it feels like we don't really kind of. It really made me think like that's. So we have to look after ourselves because we're like we have to look after ourselves like we'd look after our pets.
Yeah. That's why it's good that now we are. Especially our generation. Well, I'm a bit older than you, but our generation, we're kind of the first generation that started to talk about stuff, to actually... Because when we were growing up, it was like, this has been mentioned many times, but we were always like, you know, boys don't cry. You know, you've got to be a man, you've got to man up, you've got to grow a pair, you've got to do all those things. And we battled that because subconsciously we were like, I want to bawl my eyes out. I want to cry. This is really upsetting. I'm getting bollocked by this teacher. And I want to cry my eyes out because it's fucking horrible. But I'm in front of a classroom full of lads. It's horrible. And you go home and tell your parents, and then they go, "Well, you obviously did something to piss him off." You know, it's all that, and all that is.
They grew up in a generation where their teachers could hit them.
Yeah,
their teachers could be violent towards them. The person who's in loco parentis of them could physically abused them.
Yeah.
And it was fine. Well, they could hit them.
They were like you say, surrogate. They were, all the time you were in their charge, they were your surrogate parents. And anything, it was always assumed that they were right, you were wrong. And it's not until you get older, you go, no, they didn't have a fucking clue. None of them did.
Yeah. I really love my mum and dad. And it's, but I would be the first to admit it's a complicated relationship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's got more complicated since I've had children, because I see it. You see all the things, all the bits that they were doing the best with what they had.
Yeah.
And I'm doing the best with what I've got for my kids. But I know at some point they're going to go, oh, that was fucking terrible when he used to do that. That really, that fucked me up. And you've just got to wear it.
Yeah.
And I know that they would wear it. But you know, my mum's mum died when my mum was 18.
Yeah, right.
Right in the middle of her A-levels.
Bloody hell.
And she coped. Like, she coped. And she was the eldest daughter of four kids. And she basically ran the house and did her A-levels.
Yeah.
And so I can see her way of coping when there's stress is she just clings on to like the mast in the middle of the boat and waits till it's all over.
Yeah.
And just tries not to fall off. But doesn't really kind of take action about things to change things, because that obviously. And it's quite, fuck it, you don't have to be a psychologist to realise that was the worst thing that could have possibly happened to her at that point in her life.
Yeah.
The most stressful situation she'd ever been in. She lost her mother.
Yeah.
It's horrible. Clear, isn't it?
Yeah.
And my dad, like old school, he was packed off to some Victorian weird boarding school with no toilet doors when he was like seven.
Bloody hell.
And wasn't academic. And really fucking struggled, he's told me he won't talk to me much about it, but he had a stammer when he was a kid because he was left-handed. They tried to make him write right-handed, and they used to make him read out in class and tell him he was stupid.
Oh,
so he couldn't wait to get out of school.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
And it was awful for him.
Yeah,
but his dad was a doctor, but he struggled with that kind of stuff, and. So, in my dad, I can see a bit of, like, when he was in his 60s, he started a band with his mates called White Stick. and he'd play the band. And it basically was just them just getting wrecked and playing Rolling Stones songs and things. But I could see in him, like, and when I was a kid growing up, like if there was like a school, like when I was at primary school, you have the PTA and they sometimes the mums and dads would do a skit or something. My dad would always be involved, but he'd never learn his lines. And I remember once he came on, he had his lines on a piece of toast. Because he wanted to be part of it, but he just couldn't be arsed learning his lines. But he'd had that sort of bombastic, fuck it, I'll give it a go kind of thing.
Yeah.
That I think certainly, and it's funny, I've not really thought about it, but I've got that bit from him,
yeah,
and then just maybe applied it in a slightly different way. But neither of them are that comfortable, and I could say this, talking about feelings, and never were.
Yeah, same, yeah.
For obvious reasons. They're both damaged by, and I never set the face, so I wouldn't want to upset them. But that's why. But so I have to find, instead of me eventually going, it's not fair you would talk to me, realise that, right, I have to accept that about them. I can't change them, but then I've got to deal with what it's given to me. And I've dealt with a few kind of quite tricky stuff family-wise in terms of kind of mental health and stuff that has really affected mine. And I've had quite a lot of counselling over the years for various different things, and it's the best. I've never had much money in my life and I've never bought much stuff, but it's the best money I've ever spent in my life.
Without
a shadow of a doubt. It's why I'm still here in this house with my wife and wonderful children. It's held me together, and it's just fucking hell, because it wasn't something that I even thought was possible for me. Like, it just, that's something Americans do. That's something that gets talked to. Woody Allen talks about, well, he's not a good example because he clearly needs a lot more work. But you can't adopt them and marry them. But it felt like it is that's something other people do. That's what people who are kind of, you know, airy fairy, you know, bung bean munchers, they've got that and it's all that. But fucking hell, the people who need it the most are the people who are the least likely to access it.
Absolutely. Oh my God. And like I said to you, especially now, I've had a couple of counsellors in my time, but this one, she's excellent. And I think I was quite, because I went there thinking, you know, we're going to be talking about the relationship, but in order to get the relationship fixed, you know, she even said, this might not even be the relationship for you guys. We might get to a point where, you know, we work out that, you know, you had your time, but it's time to move on. So she's not even trying to keep us together, really. She's trying us to figure ourselves out. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And it's funny, some of the things I've told her, she just goes, no, that shouldn't have happened. And it's funny too about your own kids. I had a moment and I said to my boys, I said, look, I know I could have been better at times and I'm really sorry. I know, I did my best. But they both went, you're a fucking idiot. You were great. You know,
that's nice, isn't it?
A few times, you were a bit, you were a bit this or a bit that, but on the whole, Dad, no, you were fine.
That's lovely.
It's nice to have that moment with them. Yeah,
that's great. That's great. Well, that must mean that, like, throughout the time when they were growing up, regardless of any difficulties you might have had along the way, you kept talking to them.
Yeah, yeah. I've been very lucky as well to be in relationships with really lovely, understanding people that knew I was fucked, but kind of tolerated it, and they were, in their own way, they were trying to help me see it, you know. But even though I didn't know I had a prejudice, I was like, no, it's them, they're the problem. I don't know what their problem is. I'm a bloody legend, mate. I'm Rich Wilson.
Yeah.
It's not till later on.
I've got a Mark 1. Is it a Mark 1 Cortina?
It's a Mark 2, you remember that?
And it's mint.
Yeah.
Was it blue? Blue, covered in chrome.
It was a Mark 2 Cortina 1600E, and it was in the original gold paint.
Gold paint.
I think I only had it about a month. He got nicked.
Unbelievable.
He got stolen in Slough.
Oh, rotten.
I know, mate, gutted. But yeah, it's that thing, innit? You know, it's like you say, we're just, at least we're aware that there's issues and we're working on them, you know, whereas some people don't, and they shut, I see a lot of men that are quite aggressive because they're scared and they don't want to open up that box with all this shit in it. Yeah. And that kind of comes
there's something. It's the purpose of emotions, aren't they, are to make you do something.
Yeah.
That's the idea of them, isn't there? The feelings you get inside you on an animal level are to make you change a situation or to do something in a situation, to create actions.
Yeah.
Is it? Emotion equals motion, isn't it? That's
there you go.
That's it. Something like that, isn't it? There we go. We should write a book, Rich. write a book. It'd be a very thin book. Very thin book.
It's got two quotes and your face on it.
and then the whole section about your explosive lower body power.
That's all it'll be about. Explosive lower body power. And then
it's got to be in there. Yeah.
Emotion.
Just a picture of you in a pair of trunks on the back. Spectacular. But isn't they're telling you to do something, and that's the terrible thing, is that when you shove them down, then that turns into a frustration or a problem, or it turns into illness, doesn't it? But it's this, but that's, but dogs, because they live on the surface entirely in the moment, don't they, dogs?
Yeah.
So if a dog is frightened, that's when it attacks, isn't it? And those, so many blokes are like that, because they're scared of having, they don't even know what it is. They're having it taken away or losing something, and it makes them aggressive.
Yeah. Well, that's what you see now with the Brexit thing, and it's because I see it and I'm like, yeah, it's a lot of these people are like, you can't be that cunty. There must be something going on, you know. And you go, and it is fear. It's all born out of fear.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. That, yeah. And the historical oppression of women is why, like, politically things have been so fucked, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because ultimately, there's no government in the history, like, right now, if they just parachuted in, I don't know how many MPs there are, but 500 dinner ladies into the House of Commons, yeah, it'd be sorted, wouldn't it?
It would be sorted by end of
Marcus, the kids would be being fed, which is just fucking crazy, yeah, right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. You wouldn't hand out contracts to try and sort out a pandemic to people who used to run TalkTalk, who presided over the greatest loss of personal data breach in the history of British business.
Yeah.
You wouldn't reward them with a job dealing with people's personal data again,
yeah,
would you? You'd just go, no, they're shit at it. Let's not give it to them.
It's like when we start off in comedy and you do the gigs and then you do all right and someone goes, oh yeah, I'll come and do this gig because you did all right at this one, and that's how you go along. But if you start doing it and you're not good at it, people don't ask you to do the next lot, and that's it.
Yeah.
They go, no, I'm really sorry, it's not for you. And that's what's about with these. It's like, no, you really fucked up.
It's a nutty situation, isn't it? Like, without going too far down a COVID hole, there's a bloke lives near me who's works for Sheffield Health, and he's kind of in charge. And it's fine; he won't mind me telling you this because he tweeted about it. He's in charge of testing for this area, like for Sheffield, in charge of testing, and he's testing all the health service workers. And he sent a message to the government Department of Health saying that we've got the capacity here to do another 500 tests a day, and we would like to help. We'd like to pitch in and help and just use that capacity we've got to help with getting the testing out. And he was told to mind his own business.
Fucking hell.
He was told to back out of it. And that's because they've given it to like a private company. And so there was people trying to pitch in all over the place, trying to help out in the first wave, whether it was making masks, making stuff, and they were all told to just back off.
Fucking hell.
It's crazy.
It all comes down to money all the time, doesn't it? It's all about producing and making sure we're all good little workers. And they've got us to this point where they make us, we believe like the job is the most important thing about life. We've got faster rail, we've got the high speed two areas going in, and motorways are getting made wider, but whilst all that's happening, this we're able to get to work quicker, but they're making apartments and buildings that we live in smaller. You don't spend much time there, you might as well, you can get to work quicker, but you might as well, no point having a big house because you won't get that often. They're turning us into worker bees.
Yeah, let's make your workspace nicer than your home.
Yeah, it's madness,
isn't it?
It's all about greed,
exactly,
and money.
Yeah, totally. And also they forget to tell us that, you know, I always think that, like, when we have like a snow day and it snows for one day, and then the news will say, this has cost the British economy £8 million because no one could get to work, and just thinking, fucking relax, go sledging.
Yeah,
and also they don't go, most people find work shit. Most people don't like going to work because work is shit. People don't lie on their deathbeds wishing they spent more time fucking processing, repayment programs for Rover Finance, do they? They can't fucking wait to get out of there and do something and can go to a gig, listen to some music, make pots, eat, drink, fuck each other, have fun.
Yeah.
They can't wait to get out there on a Friday. So don't tell us that, because just like, and dinner ladies, if we parachuted in the dinner ladies, they'd know that you need a day off, love. It's good for you. Go sledging. Do you know what I mean?
It's
There is a fundamental lack of nurture, isn't there, in our political system?
Yeah, nurture.
Because it's all about all about serving the capitalist system.
Yeah.
And there's never been another system. There never has been. It's always been a capitalist system, isn't it?
That's why, like you say, there's with women are involved, there's more empathy, there's more understanding. All men do, really. We just wave our dicks at each other. Just go, look, mine's bigger than yours. Ugh.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah. Let the women make the decisions that require communication, diplomacy, and listening.
Yeah.
And let the men knock down the brick toilets. And then all of us can look after the people who don't know or aren't sure whether they're men or women, or don't know they aren't men or women and don't want to be either. And we can all just make sure that everyone's happy.
And if any of these women want to knock down the brick shit house, you can come and do that.
Absolutely, girls. Fill your boots, grab a lump hammer, and let's have a crack at this porcelain together. But I've got a feeling you've got more important decisions to be making on those Chesterfield leather-bound benches there.
Exactly, because us men, as has been proven down the years, are shit at it.
Yes, exactly. I mean, you look at it that way, you go kind of... The amount of... Talk about fucking privilege. The amount of chances we've had to... And yes, there have been, there have been huge advances in lifting people out of poverty and technological advances. But the things aren't mutually exclusive, are they? Those things can happen anyway. But we had some mates over for tea a couple of weeks ago, and it was all within the right groups, and I can't remember what we were talking about. We were talking about gender and self ID. It popped up, and we had an instant conversation that all of us in our 40s and 50s kind of the conclusion that for a lot of us it's quite it's not the easiest thing to wrap your heads around.
Yeah.
Simply because you've grown up in a different time.
Yeah, exactly.
But that doesn't mean there's no reason why you shouldn't and couldn't wrap your heads around it.
Yeah.
And just kind of go, right, well, that's, yes, okay, right.
Yeah.
It's just moving with times, isn't it? And accepting
it goes back
things
to that
change.
Thing, yeah, we talked about this on here and on the FemBrain podcast as well, is that people are afraid to ask questions because you're supposed to just automatically know. You're just supposed to know how someone wants to be identified. You're supposed to know all the pronouns, and you're supposed to know everything about it, and you're not allowed to make any mistakes. You just have to straight away come out all guns blazing. I completely understand. You're not allowed to go, I don't really understand, because I've been brought up, this is a woman, this is a man. I don't know. Can you point me in the right direction?
Yeah.
And it's people being able to ask those questions without being
Absolutely. And I think people absolutely can when they're with the people that they're wanting to learn about. And I think social media paints an untrue picture, because it's the people who because it is inherently a technological system that reinforces each bubble, whether it's political or social, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Then you engage less and less and less with people who don't share exactly the same interests or views.
Yeah.
And therefore, so you don't have the conversations. And but I would imagine in the real world, for anyone who is is on that journey one way or another, self ID wise terminology, but I'm panicking, to get it wrong.
Yeah.
But anyone who's on that journey of transforming gender,
on that transitional path,
that's the word I meant. Yes, exactly. So I imagine if you were with someone who was on that journey, you could have a very interesting and enlightening and really helpful conversation, and a loving conversation, all coming from a place of love.
Yeah.
But social media doesn't allow that to happen, because so many people are looking for a way of just finding one bit that someone got wrong, whichever side of the debate they're on, and then trashing them for it.
Piling on.
And I think we all suffer because of that.
Yeah, I think we do. Everyone, yeah.
I had a wonderful conversation when I did a stand weekend with Bethany Black years ago.
Yeah.
And we had a really good conversation. It was a lovely conversation, and one that was, you know, I feel really lucky to have had with her. And it was really enlightening.
Yeah.
Really, really, really interesting. But you couldn't possibly have a conversation like that on social media.
No, not at all. Not at all.
It's not wired up for that.
No.
You know, it's... how did we get to this? So, yes, that was it. So we were chatting, and one fellow around the dinner table, we were talking about, the conversation about transgender. And he said, like, because it's one of those things that it's just in a situation of everyone being loving, we shouldn't even need to have that conversation.
No, exactly.
And the amount of airtime and human energy that's being involved in stuff that ultimately, when you think about it, it's like sexuality. It's just which little bits of our sensitive bodies we choose to rub against each other or rub ourselves, or what we decide it is, or we do or don't want to rub.
Yeah.
And you think about it like that, it's fucking nothing. It's a few little cells that we stimulate, and then, or whether we choose to or not, whether that matters to us, and the whole rainbow and grayscales of everything in between.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal, is it?
No, but it's used to, it's weaponized, and it's all...
It's totally weaponized.
Yeah.
But while we're all running around shouting each other and attacking each other and getting divided on that, like, throughout our lifetime, there's people been living right in front of us on the streets.
Yeah.
Like, and starving. And as we see now, you know, people live... Food banks and poverty. We can't even feed in... No, there isn't access to good food for everyone when we live in a state of immense wealth where we've got all the resources.
Yeah.
And we all walk past people. We're all part of a society where it's normal to have people living on the streets and dying in the winter.
Yeah.
And like maybe that is, in if we survive another 200 years, the thing that maybe we'll look around and go, that was the greatest crime of our time. Yeah. Wasn't all the other stuff that we got told to fight with each other about. All the while, there was people just living on the streets.
Oh, man.
It's fucking nuts, isn't it? When you think about it that way around, you go, wow, like, we're not everyone, you know, not everyone's warm.
No, and everyone's again, on social media, everyone's virtue signalling and, talk about all the things they've done. And you go, yeah, but there's a fella out there, I've seen families, whole families in doorways surrounded by their belongings.
Yeah.
How have we got to that point where an entire family is on the street? Used to be one fella. Used to be one fella walk around the town.
Yeah.
And bless him, you know, he was a bit mentally ill, and he never knew where he went at night, but he'd always be around. You know, but now we've got, and I'm not saying that's right, I'm just saying it used to be it'd be one or two fellas. But now we've got entire families on the streets and no one's talking about that. We're all shouting at each other about other stuff that, that is important, but not as important. It's all important in its own way.
It's all important, isn't it? Yeah. It's all important, isn't it? But it is. Yeah, that's the thing, and we've also got to a point where, if you were to look at social media, which so many of us do, and it's where so many of us derive the little seeds that begin our day, or what we think is happening in the world at any one time. It's our frame of reference for life, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the fucking reality of the thing. Things aren't... More than one thing isn't allowed to be true at the same time on social media. That's the problem.
Oh, yeah.
And the reality is, like you're saying, it's very important that trans rights... are discussed in the right way.
Yeah.
And there's people starving, and there's all these awful things. But at the same time, there's loads of people every single day doing loads of work to help people.
Yeah.
Whether it's helping you know, disadvantaged kids and people in the ethnic minorities who are in a structure that denies them the opportunities.
Yeah.
That has to be tackled. But at the same time, there's loads of people quietly and without going on about it, helping them, feeding old people, yeah. washing old people, yeah. feeding homeless people, running homeless shelters, all of this thing that's happening. And some reason, like, we look at it on social media and it depresses the shit out of us. And there's people doing it who still go in every day and do it. And it clearly doesn't break them. And it makes you think that there must be something in that, that I imagine the people who, say people, who, for example, someone who volunteers in a food bank regularly, and they will see stuff that will break their heart on a daily basis.
Yeah.
But also, I'm sure they'll be, makes me think, why am I not fucking doing it? Like, they will be forming relationships with the people that come in and having conversations with the people that come in, and human contact, knowing that they're part of something that is positive.
Yeah.
Is the reason that they can go back in and do it every day. And I think there's something in what we all miss whacking through social media is we see all the horror, but we don't, it's how we choose to then engage with it afterwards.
Yeah.
Isn't it? And I think, I don't know, I'm asking myself the question at the same time, but at a point now when we've got all this time, we can't really do what we're doing. Why am I not volunteering, delivering meals or doing what I can to make... Now, I absolutely agree, like, that, you know, we pay our taxes and the government should be doing all this, but when they're not, then absolutely we have to look out for each other, don't we? We have to go and help each other and then make sure we remember when it's time to put a cross in a box, who did what.
Yeah, so fucking
and what right, those man. Things were that mattered, you know. And it really makes me think, and it's because it is, isn't it, like that's that. I think there's so much unhappiness and general sadness that we all deal with, and I go down rabbit holes of looking at the news and obsessing over it, and I know that if I just go out, walk the dog, talk to every single person I see,
yeah,
or if I went and helped or volunteered somewhere, then at least, you know, you're doing something to help, and you don't have to tell anyone about it.
No, just do it.
And that, just fucking
just
do
fucking
it. Like,
do
put
it.
Energy, just go and fucking do it. And that's what people do up and down the length and breadth of every country in the world. There's fucking millions of people putting a massive shift in for humanity that we don't see. And that should be on the news every single fucking day. It should be half and half.
Yeah.
Half and half.
Yeah,
what the shitheads are trying to do. And then what all these wonderful, I'm just going to call them the dinner ladies of the world are doing.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And they aren't all ladies and they aren't all that, but they're the, do you know what I mean? The people who actually, there's loads of great people out there doing great things all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's not news, is it?
No, but you're Never right. Is. You're right. And saying that, just being decent to people and like you say, talking to people and being decent, looking out for people. If you think about it, and I've said this to you a lot, this podcast wouldn't even exist if you hadn't have said to me, behind that bar, you should do comedy, you've got that twinkle in your eye. that little conversation set me on this path, and I've met all these wonderful people that have helped me along the way, Silky and Michael Smiley and people like that, and all the beautiful women, Marilyn, you know, and everybody, and my wife India and Jade and all these people that have pushed me along to this point where I'm at now, and that was all from that conversation behind that bar. So that, how about that?
And I was the best guest you could get today. What was the fucking point, Rich? What was the point?
I had to get. But I was so upset because we already did this, and I don't even know why, because the recorder that I use doesn't. I don't need batteries. It can go through the laptop and all that. For some reason, I clicked the wrong box, the wrong thing. It didn't record it, and we had to do this again. I was so upset.
Don't worry, it wasn't meant to be. And the good thing is, I get to see you twice.
Yeah,
so
mate.
I get two doses of Richie's explosive lower body power.
Oh, Rob, I love you. This has been amazing. Thank you.
Likewise, mate.
It's been so good.
Absolute pleasure. It was a tonic to talk to you, mate. It was Yeah, because, you know, it's fucking shitting down relentlessly with rain out here.
Same.
And, yeah, so I just... I have to be conscious. I have to look after myself. I mean, our business is in the toilet at the moment, essentially, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I'm acutely aware that there's a lot of people are in the same boat in all sorts of different businesses, and it's really, really uncertain, isn't it? And so we've just all got to kind of look out for each other, stay connected, stay positive, help out, and... And help whoever we can, and we'll ride it out. But we're going to have to be creative, and it might not be easy. But
you're so
we'll
right,
get
man.
Through it.
That is a beautiful way
we'll
to finish as well. We absolutely, Rob. Thanks, mate. I've loved this,
mate. Absolute pleasure. Likewise, Rich.
And stay
talk
in touch.
To you all day.
Stay in touch, regardless of this.
Yeah, we can do this without having to record it and put it out as well, can't we?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That's the beauty of this conversation. We can actually
Great.
Have it.
Yeah. It goes on. It's free. Yeah. And if people are listening, like, just fucking ring your mates up and have a proper good yammer. You probably all get 3 minutes now, don't you?
Yeah, of course you will.
Just stick them on. Yeah. And also watch films during the day. Watch instead of watching when you're knackered. If you can't go into work, watch fucking great films
it's
during
good,
the day.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah. That's good, man. I watched American Psycho the other day. I'd never seen it before. I thought I'd seen it.
In the daytime.
I'm glad
That's
I did.
That's a crazy film, isn't it?
At one point, towards like when at the crescendo, and I was I realised I was just sat with my mouth open, just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Well, it's the time to watch. Like, it's the time to consume great art. It's like when you're wide awake, I reckon from about 11 o'clock in the morning... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your breakfast has gone down and you're awake. Now you've been out for a walk the dog or something and you're ready. You're ready for something big.
Yeah.
It's the time to do it.
Yeah, stick a film on.
How many... Me and Helen were talking about this. Like, my kid... Helen always bullies me that I don't cry much. And I do cry quite a bit. She just doesn't see it that often.
In the toilet hiding.
Yeah. Just wondering when it will be over. The toilet, not life. But I realise I cry quite a lot in the car, like that when the amount of driving that we often do.
Yeah.
Because I find like, and we were talking about, why does it happen? Like when a song will come on or you're listening to some discussion programme on the radio and an old lady rings in and just says, I just want someone to talk to. And she gets to talk to and you end up having to pull over just bawling into your hands. Because you're often wide open, aren't you?
Yeah.
And you're vulnerable and it feels like, it's funny, I feel... That it's moments like that when you feel like you're actually really alive, isn't it?
Absolutely.
When you're really laughing, when you're really crying, like you really are alive, aren't you?
Yeah, right in the moment, you're there. You're not.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah, you're right, man. Just when you've lost all thought and you're not connected to anything, you're just in the moment, just pissing yourself. Or you're crying your eyes out, blubbing, uncontrollable blubbing, snot bubbles and all sorts. I've had that. I had to pull over. I was in the services just outside Peterborough, and I just I was just sobbing, just crying my eyes out. Just it all got a bit much.
Yeah.
But I felt amazing after. Very cathartic.
Yeah,
it was good. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah,
that's what you need.
I had one. I was doing an 8-show weekend at Hot Water.
Yeah.
And running back to my hotel room in between shows and just suddenly exploding into tears. And then going back, doing a gig, going crazy, running back to the hotel, exploding again. Then I rang the lady I talked to.
I need to speak to someone. Yeah.
Yeah,
Rob.
But yeah, you've got. But keep talking. Everyone, keep talking. That's
absolutely,
all we can do.
Absolutely, Rob.
And keep having fun.
Fucking right.
Sticking
mate.
It to the fucking man, and let's get the dinner ladies in charge.
I love you, Rob. Thank you, mate.
Love you too, mate.
Where can we find
Take
you?
Care.
Where can we find you online and all that? Or can we?
I'm doing Patreon because we can't do gigs. So Monday to Friday, every single day of the week, I put something. Funny on patreon.com/Rob Rouse, and you can join from £1 a month or pay whatever you want, but it's like that. So if people want to pay more, they can. If people can't afford it, they don't have to pay it. But regardless of what you pay, you get access to the whole catalogue of everything that I've ever put. It's about 5 months worth now.
Brilliant.
And I'm doing it every Monday to Friday. There's stuff on there. So, and all the links are on my Twitter handle, at Rob Rouse. But yeah, I'd love it if people want to come in and they just get an email from me once a day with a funny thing on it.
Brilliant.
And you don't have to troll through social media to find something funny amongst all the madness.
Thanks, Rob. I've loved this.
All right, Richie. Great.
Thanks, man. You take care.
Likewise. Love to you. Love to Jade. I'll see you soon, mate.
Love to you and Helen. Cheers, mate. Bye.
See you later, mate. Lots of love. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
I can't believe it's over.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.